Welcome back to Hype Podcast, episode 102. This is Hypeable.com's flagship show where we bring you all the latest news on, you know, just all the good entertainment stuff that you want to know about. My name is Pamela, and I'll be your host again this week. I know you guys are all missing Selena, but fortunately, she's off having too much fun without us in London. Went to go see Cursed Child with Kyle, who is also off again this week. And Marima's still got some stuff going on at home, so it's going to be me and Kristen again, bringing you all the news. But we did have the chance to get an awesome guest host for you guys this week. We're going to be joined by Mikey, who does Resistance Radio, which is also one of the Hypeable podcasts. And some of you might even know him from his days on MuggleCast. So we're really excited to have him. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, everyone.
We're so excited to have Mikey on because, as you guys know, there's like a shortage of testosterone usually on this show. So we brought him on to talk about some Star Wars stuff, and we're just going to have a nice jam-packed show. But before we get started, we do want to remind you about all of our contact information in case you want to get a hold of us. For starters, you can always reach us via Twitter. We are at HypeableHype on there. We are also at HypeableHype on Instagram in case you want to follow along on any of the pop culture adventures the hosts happen to be having. If you want to leave rather lengthy comments for us, you can do so in the show notes on Hypeable.com. Alternatively, you can drop us a line via email. We are hype@hypeable.com if you want to do that. And we also remind you that we're having lots of fun hanging out on Tumblr. So if you want to give us a follow over there, we are at hypepodcast.tumblr.com. So there's plenty of ways to interact with all of the hosts in between episodes. We're going to get started, as always, with how we hype. We tell you guys what we've been doing over the course of the week in pop culture. And since Mikey is our guest, I'm going to let him go first because he's got some cool stuff coming up.
So there's actually two things related to Resistance Radio that I have kind of coming up. Our next episode, which we're actually recording tomorrow, we have the director of Star Wars Exile coming onto the show to discuss his latest film, latest Star Wars fan film. And he actually hopes to continue the series, and it's actually up for voting on StarWars.com right now as part of the Star Wars fan film. It's actually pretty interesting. It's a great story. The actual director is one of the main characters in the film. It was shot in 4K, so it's really beautiful, great visual effects. So he's going to be on talking to us about it, and we have a whole bunch of questions to talk to him. Also, myself, Danya, and Eric will be at Indie PopCon, so in Indianapolis, next week. And we're after the convention on Sunday sometime. We're going to be doing a Facebook live video podcast recapping the con and all the latest Star Wars news. So Sunday the 19th, we'll have something going on live.
I went the first year, literally the first year, and we'll make that out. And I missed it last year, and I because my brother's birthday is always really close to the weekend they choose, and I can't miss his birthday. It would just be mean. So, and this year's his 21st, so I really can't miss it. But hopefully, I'm hoping next year I can go. But my roommate Karen will be there as well. She's one of the Not Another Teen Wolf podcast girls, so I'm sure you'll see her. Aw, man. Now I'm really sad.
You know, you can come out and we'll give you a t-shirt. Drive. You know, Resistance Radio has t-shirts and buttons and all sorts of fun stuff, too. So, you know, you can give him a t-shirt for his birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw those buttons you guys have. They're really cool. Those are going to be for sale, right?
Yeah, the button packs are going to be for sale. We'll eventually put them on our website, too. I'm trying to figure out how to get that all set up. But we'll have t-shirts, which I have not tweeted about or sent to anyone the design yet except Danya and Eric. But the design's pretty cool. Like, I'm actually excited to wear the shirt, not just because it's a Resistance Radio shirt, because it's a pretty generic Star Wars design. So like, even if you don't know who Resistance Radio is, it's a pretty cool shirt. So we have shirts and buttons, and then we also have free CDs for Resistance Radio, and we'll also have MuggleCast buttons available too for sale at Indie PopCon. So we have all sorts of fun stuff between me and Eric.
There you go. There's no reason not to stop by and hang out with these
guys. Well, I haven't properly started my summer binge watching, so I can't. Okay,
Kristen, are you reading something? You're like our little bookworm. I love it. You always tell me what I need to be reading.
But I have been reading, and I started the audiobook for Ember in the Ashes by Sabaa Tahir. And I have to say, I feel like I have been emotionally, like, compromised by this book. Like, it's so good. I'm halfway through it, and I can't, like, listen to the whole thing all at once. Like, I keep stopping at work. Like, I'll be typing, and I'll just have to stop and, like, think and, like, give myself a moment to get over it. It's a really, really great book, and I know the second book, which I believe is called A Torch in the Night or something like that, I think that comes out very soon, like, in the next month or 2 months or so. And I'm just really, really loving it. It's just kind of dystopian. It's a little bit fantastical too. It's set in like a military dictatorship, and it's really cool. Like just the way she set up the world and all of the different things going on. I'm really enjoying it. So, yay for books. Yes.
Yeah, books are always great. I need to aside time to read again because I haven't been doing a lot of reading. But my list grows longer and longer every time I do the show with you. Well, I know it. It's working. I'm telling you right now. Well, I've been listening to something too, but I feel like this is cheating, but I'm going to do it anyway because it is literally my favorite thing that has been on the internet this week, you guys. Our very own Selena sat down with Alexander Vlahos, who a lot of you might know from BBC's Merlin, because we do show a lot of love to Merlin on this show, of course. He's in a new show called Versailles, and she sat down with him for a special episode of Hype, and the interview is just so good. He had such like insightful things to say, not only about the show, but just about a lot of the stuff that we cover on here, from fair representation in television to just like, you know, the short attention span of viewers and this like cultural norm now that we have where people judge things based on the pilot. So it's such a really fun interview. And I really hope that even if you guys, you know, like maybe have never heard of Alex before or like haven't heard of Versailles before, you take a moment to check it out because regardless of whether or not you've checked out the show, which just premiered on BBC, I think that you'll really enjoy this because he seems like he was such a joy, and Selena's great at interviewing people. So yeah, it's a really fun episode, and I feel like that was a little bit like Hypeception, you know, because I'm talking about an episode of this podcast, but I feel like I'm allowed because I wasn't on the show.
So I was gonna ask real quick, Alexander, just refresh me, is he the guy who played Mordred?
Oh my god, have you seen Merlin?
I've watched the entire series. Of course I have.
My favorite show. Yeah.
Well, like, you know, I'm a pretty big geek. You know, I have a Harry Potter tattoo and a Star Wars tattoo, and like, you know, I'm a kind of a big geek. So yeah, of course I watched Merlin, Doctor Who, and all that fun stuff. So yes, he was Mordred, though. Am I wrong?
Yes, he was. He was the okay. Older Mordred. Yeah. I just like, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, we love Merlin on this show. And so it was really great to have him on because, you know, he was like such a big part of the last season, as you know. And mm-hmm. a lot of our listeners know. So that's really great. You can officially come back now when we do our second Merlin retrospective episode. So that's what we've been doing this week, or how we've been hyping, so to speak. And we'll be back next week with some more pop culture related fun stuff. We're going to move into the news. We have another busy news week, but we are going to start off very fittingly with some J.K. Rowling news because, you know, Cursed Child Part 1 just premiered for the first preview play. We've got some news pertaining to that that Mikey's going to lead us through.
Yeah, so J.K. Rowling slams down haters who think Hermione can't be black. You know, here's the thing. It's like, I totally kind of expected this after I saw the pictures, but I, you know, it was really nice to see J.K. Rowling actually just kind of say, like, why can't she? And like all the things that everyone has kind of talked about, so like trying to claim that she has to be white or anything like that, it doesn't make sense. And there's nothing in the books that says what race she is. In fact, when you look at like the movies and everything, they weren't cast to be exact copies of what the descriptions were in the books anyway. So what's saying she can't be? And I absolutely love this. I think she is, you know, the person they cast for it is probably the best person for the role. I can't wait to see the play. I probably won't get to for a while, but I know I'll be able to get the script in, you know, July. And I'm really jealous of like Andrew and everyone else who are seeing it now. But I think it's just absolutely amazing. On that same note, I will say that J.K. Rowling is also urging people to keep the secrets, hashtag keep the secrets, because I really don't want to be spoiled. Me and Eric have had this conversation. We're like, we just can't talk to Andrew until we get to read the book ourselves. So
yeah, no, I totally agree because Selena's out there as well. Like we mentioned before, I haven't had a chance to talk to Kyle, but Selena texted me and she was like, you guys, like, I want to tell you all the things, but I can't tell you all the things.
Don't and tell it's, me.
It's what it, exactly. It's like one of those things where like, you want to know, but you also don't want to know.
That sounds really, really awesome, but I am not going to read this story because I don't want to know, but I also want to know all the things. So I definitely understand.
But I mean, like, this is not a spoiler, but like, obviously if you are like looking for it and you just can't wait, there's going to be some stuff going up on Hypeable. But just as a forewarning for anybody that's worried, the staff that has seen it is working really, really hard to make sure that we're not going to spoil our readers with, you know, like suggestive images or suggestive headlines. And so unless you're clicking on anything you see on Hypeable.com and like actually reading through the post past, you know, the little blurb that's going to be on the site, like you don't have to worry about being spoiled on our front. We can't speak for everybody else, but we just want to let you guys know that we're working really hard to make sure that we respect the fan base, but also give people that have seen the play or want to discuss, you know, the new stuff that comes out from it, the opportunity to do that amongst themselves in a confined space where you're not spoiling anybody that doesn't want to be spoiled. So just a little note there, because we want to make sure that you guys know that we care. So yeah. In other news, we've got some Disney news for you guys. This is kind of like the best of both worlds coming together, because Disney's Moana has tapped Hamilton actress Philippa Sue to star in the upcoming movie, which also stars The Rock. So that's going to be really fun. And it's great because I know that Lin-Manuel Miranda is also doing the music for this movie. So it kind of makes sense to have them team up again for something like this. And I just think it's going to be so much fun. Have you guys been following up with or following along with any of this Moana news? Because I just think this looks like such a fun movie.
Yeah, I feel like it just keeps coming up in like on Twitter and things. Like, I haven't been actively following it, but I feel like I know quite a bit about it just because, you know, Lin-Manuel is attached to it. He's working on music and stuff. So because of that, it's all over my feed and, you know, all of that stuff. So while I haven't been, like, actively trying to find information about Moana, it's all over the place. So I think that's really cool. I'm also kind of wondering if now Lin is just going to kind of usher his Hamilton cast into things. So it's like, for the rest of his career, it's like, oh, I know someone who would be perfect for that. And then, like, here they come. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be
all for
that.
It's not what you know, it's who you know. And, exactly. And that's kind of how Hollywood works, you know? That's how I got, you know. It really is how Hollywood kind of works. It's who you know, and it kind of helps you get your foot in the door. You know, I'll tell you this. I'm actually kind of a big fan of this because I really want them to play kind of a nod to some of the longtime Disney stuff, specifically like the Tiki Room. I would love to see like one of the toucan birds or something like that just be like off in the corner or something like that as kind of a Easter egg for this type of show or movie, because Moana is going to be such a powerful story for the, you know, Pacific Islander culture and everything. So I'm excited for it just because I want the music too.
Just seems like it's going to be a fun project, but Chris and I agree. It's kind of like he's the new Judd Apatow. He's just going to work with like the people that he loves and that's it. Yeah. So now we're just going to have to wait and see if he taps anybody from Mary Poppins or get someone else into that.
Seriously.
That would be pretty fun.
Yeah. Like, and I'll be on the lookout for that now.
So Disney basically has Rogue One has reshoots going on right now. Now we talked about this on Resistance Radio pretty in depth. You know, Hollywood Reporter says that basically they're going to change the tone of Rogue One, which I will tell you, Danya is very against this, and so is Eric, because they really want a dark war film, something very different. But I, on the other hand, think that really doing a reshoot to kind of match the tone of Star Wars A New Hope is actually probably going to be the best thing for Disney on this. You know, I don't think they're changing any of the story to it, because basically the news is saying they're doing reshoots to change the tone of the story, which means they may be just simply adding a little bit. But at the same time, we do know that this movie is going to take place right up to episode 4, just 10 minutes before the start of episode 4. So we have a good chance of seeing some of our favorite characters that we've seen in the original trilogy, at least if not a silhouette or something like that of Princess Leia receiving those plans. So there are some reshoots going on from Disney right now for Rogue One, which is set to open in December. So it's about 200 days away.
But the thing is, too, about this story is that I feel like originally it appeared on page 6, right, of the New York Post. And that story was so, it made it sound like such a bigger deal than it was. And then I read this Hollywood Reporter report, and it was just kind of like, everybody calm down. It's fine. It's just to make sure that, you know, everything kind of lines up. That's kind of like what I'm getting from it. Is that kind of pretty accurate?
Yeah, so actually, we talked about the Hollywood Reporter is probably the most accurate one. At least I would believe it's probably the most credible one when it comes to the industry. But it showed up on page 6 and a bunch of other things. They were talking about how they basically, after showing Rogue One to an audience, people didn't like it. And they're going in and doing reshoots and everything. And I have a television and film background, and I'll tell you this, reshoots are just a natural part of film. So having reshoots is not something that's going to make mean the movie's bad or anything. But basically, Hollywood Reporter says that these reshoots were done specifically after the film was screened for Disney executives. And again, they have to look at the entire franchise as a whole, not each individual film. So by simply adjusting the tone of the film, maybe make it not as dark, all the rumors coming out without spoiling anything is we know that there's a big bad Darth Vader in here, and he is just absolutely, you know, wicked and beyond evil. And so when you look at the original trilogy, you know, Darth Vader in A New Hope is only in there for 3 minutes. So it's one of those things where he is still that ominous presence, but it definitely want to have the tone match this if it's going to take place right up to it. So as a franchise thing, I think matching the tone is probably going to be a little bit better, but I don't want them to change it so much to where it's not, you know, this war film. You know, I would like to have something separate from, you know, the saga films. So it doesn't look like it's going to be too bad. I think people are reading too much into it just because reshoots happen during editing, and hopefully after this they'll get picture lock and we'll start to get a score made.
And it's awesome that this is like kind of really coming together because the trailer looks so great. So I know like we're really excited about this, and yeah, we're excited to hear what comes of this. So it's going to be fun. We've got some more Star Wars stuff, though, too, coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, so John Boyega is actually being cast in the lead of the Pacific Rim sequel, which I am beyond excited for. I don't know if you guys saw the first one, but one, Guillermo del Toro is one of my favorite directors, and it's got giant robots. Like, who doesn't love giant robots? Like, seriously, like, I was joking around earlier. I'm like, man, he's going to be Pacific Rim, and I just kind of move my arms up and down like, I'm in a robot. Like, here's the thing. John Boyega is a really funny guy, and when you put yourself in this giant robot type thing to fight for the planet, how cool is that? Like, that's just a fun premise. And he's going to be the lead in the sequel. So I'm excited to see how he is able to bring himself into this story, into this world where Pacific Rim takes place. So
yeah, I saw the first one at Karen's behest about 2 months ago. So yeah, I quite liked it, honestly. I didn't think I would. I love action films. Like, that's like one of my favorite genres. But for some reason, like, all of the trailers for that, like, pushed me away. Like, I just was not as into it. But I actually really, really liked the film. So yeah, I'm jazzed to see him take this on. I think he's going to be a lot of fun. And he's, yeah, you're right. Like, he seems like a really chill, cool guy. And I think he's going to have a good time with it. So I'm looking forward to seeing
him do it. That's not how the Force works. Anyway, but no, like, just think about this. Like, I'll be with you, honest with you. I agree that, you know, I watched the, you know, Pacific Rim trailers myself, and I kind of didn't want to. The only reason I saw Pacific Rim the first time was because I like Guillermo del Toro as a director, and I was blown away. Like, if you haven't seen it, I would encourage people to go take a look at it because it's pretty awesome. It's a fun film. And that's all it is. It's just a fun film to watch.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just a lot of fun. Going from lots of fun, another lots of fun movie, Florence Kasumba, who had a very, very, very small role in Captain America: Civil War, she had exactly one line, as one of Black Panther's bodyguards. She had a little confrontation with Black Widow. She was recently cast in Wonder Woman, and I am super excited, but I was already excited for Wonder Woman. I think it's going to be a really, really fun movie, and I'm really excited to see Gal Gadot. But you know, after this news, she was kind of a badass in Civil War, even though we didn't really get to see her do anything. And we know that she's supposed to be showing up in the Black Panther movie as well. So we don't really know a whole lot about her role, but we do know that she's going to be awesome. So yeah, I'm jazzed. I'm glad she's going to be involved.
So she's in both Marvel and DC now?
Yeah, which I'm trying to think if there's any other crossover, like, actors, but none that I can come up with off the top of my head.
So I'm just seeing this as headcanon now, that there's a crossover between the two universes now. That's all. Yes. I'm just saying it. Just think about it.
As long as there's a connection, it works. And another little bit of Marvel news. Chris Evans recently went on record, I guess, talking about Brie Larson, who's been rumored to play Captain Marvel. And he worked with her in Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which is a really, really fun film back in 2009. And he's really jazzed about it. When interviewed, this comes from us to us via the Mary Sue. He said, I just heard about that. I really hope that happens. I love Brie Larson. We did a movie together back in 09. I cannot say enough about Brie Larson. I think she's phenomenal, and I really hope that happens. So, yeah, I'm excited as Chris Evans is. I think Brie Larson is fantastic. I would love to see her take on this role. Yeah, I could not be any more excited, and it sounds like Chris Evans, you know, thinks similarly.
I'm just imagining them in, like, you know, a superhero context together, and I think that that would be amazing.
So, I know, right?
I'm down if he's down.
Exactly.
But I think we like, go on.
I was going to say, I'm just looking at the article on Hypeable, and I will say, Chris Evans looks kind of dreamy. Like, he's, like, got the little beard and everything. I'm like, wow. Like, you know, I'm married and all that, but he's pretty dreamy in that picture. So I definitely can see, like, some on-screen action between them. Just kind of the chemistry that they had back in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
And we, like, I feel like we waxed poetic for hours on Brie Larson, but she deserves it last episode. But yeah, I mean, if she is able to lock this in, I think it would be great. I don't know very much about Captain Marvel, but she's amazing. So I think anything she does would be amazing too. So be a nice meaty role for her. And it would be fun to see her interact with some of the other cast members that are already tied into Marvel, for sure. In other franchise news, sorry to disappoint all the Tom Hiddleston fans that were hoping he'd take over the coveted role of James Bond, because Tom is now denying the rumors. He was, of course, linked to the role last week, along with a bunch of other Bond hopefuls. Of course, everybody's kind of still waiting for Daniel Craig to officially step down, even though he hasn't announced that he's not returning to the franchise. But it's kind of only a matter of time, especially since director Sam Mendes already said he wasn't going to return. So at Wizard World in Philadelphia, Hiddleston told the crowd, I'm sorry to disappoint you, everybody. I don't think that announcement is coming. I'm very gratified to hear the enthusiasm. So it's nice that he likes the idea, but doesn't really sound like that's something we're going to get, which is probably disappointing if you were kind of hoping to see, you know, him take on the role. But it's like, it's such, I feel like this is such a huge commitment. I feel like anybody that takes Bond on is really going to have to stop and think for a minute. But whether or not they want to be tied in for, you know, years and years and years. So.
Yeah, I feel like when Daniel Craig took it on, I don't think he thought about how long he was going to be involved. Like, I really don't, because every time another movie was supposed to come out, it was like, is Daniel Craig still involved? Is that going to be a thing? Like, I feel like he's always been kind of reluctant and not sure how long he was going to stay Bond. So I hope whoever they get this time is, like, really locked in, and they know, you know, they have an idea of how many films they want him for, and there's a, you know, good structure behind him. So, yeah, it's going to be, everyone is going to be rumored to be Bond until we get Bond. Like, it's just one of those things. I think I heard a rumor about Theo James possibly playing Bond the other day.
No.
I was not as jazzed about that one either. So, you know, it's all over the place.
Basically, anybody British that's around 30 is going to be rumored to be Bond until we get a Bond. So,
pretty much. Well, moving on from Bond, we recently found out that Pitch Perfect 3 will not be directed by Elizabeth Banks, sadly enough. She is leaving the role of director. She will still be staying on as a producer and will reprise her role as Gale. It's, you know, believed that there's no real bad blood. There wasn't, like, a massive issue or anything with the film as a whole. But she has a really busy schedule. She's Elizabeth Banks. She's got a ton of things going on. So she just doesn't have the time to devote to the project. And rather than, you know, kind of half-ass it, she decided to step down. They moved the release date from July 21st, 2017 to December 22nd. So we Ooh. Will be seeing it next year, but it's been pushed back. So,
what do you guys think about the date release? Just because being moved, it's going up against Star Wars Episode 8 now.
Oh,
I'm just saying, like, as soon as I saw that release date, I'm like, because Episode 8 is being released December 15th. You know, I love Pitch Perfect, and I would hate for the third one to get lost in something just because of, you know, the juggernaut that is Disney and, you know, Star Wars and Marvel stuff.
There's probably an audience that won't want to see Star Wars that weekend, maybe? Does that audience exist?
Is really that's the hard part, though. Isn't it? Because these, you would think that these two films have different audiences, but really, like, they have the same fans. It's people
they
like
have a
us.
Lot of the same fans. Yeah, that's the point. It's like the fact that you're reporting on it. So they have a lot of the same fans. And I'll be honest, when Force Awakens came out, I had to see it 7 or 8 times before I saw anything else. But, you know, I do run a Star Wars podcast, so maybe that's just me.
No, I feel that, because even I was like, so when can I see this again, guys? And it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, can I get back in line now? So I get that. Especially because with Star Wars, it's like you want to go back and rewatch it so you can like absorb the little things. And Pitch Perfect 3, like, obviously, if you just take that into account, like people wanting to rewatch Star Wars, it's not going to match them in the box office at all that week. So I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see if that release date sticks.
Yeah, right.
It's like watch maybe the movie to January.
Well, the other thing to think about, if there is something going on with Universal, a lot of times they'll throw movies against something big like that just because they've got a contract to get the film out because they know it's not going to do well. So I'm almost wondering if Universal's saying, because she's leaving or something like that, there might be something more going on that we just don't know, and they're kind of throwing away the franchise. Other film companies have done that before. I'm bringing this mood down. I'm sorry. I'm just looking at that day and going, oh no.
Because it's an interesting like insider perspective, because like you know you mentioned before, you are familiar with the film industry, so it's not something I would think of, but I wouldn't doubt it. Like I wouldn't like rule it out, I guess I would say. That's interesting though. Well, we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, like, 3 movies is a good run for Pitch Perfect if Pitch Perfect stops at 3. Like, as much fun as they are. So,
yeah.
I guess we'll just have to wait. We're going to move into a little bit of TV news. There's, like, a lot of awesome TV news this week. And we're going to start off with one of my favorite shows, Quantico, because they have just announced that we'll be getting a new face when Quantico returns in the fall for season 2. Quantico has just cast Russell Tovey, who, of course, most recently was a part of HBO's Looking cast, to play a brand new character that showrunner Josh Safran actually created specifically for him. So that's how much he wanted Tovey to be on the show. And I actually like love this quote that Safran said of Tovey, because he references one of my favorite bodies of work of this actor in particular. So he said, ever since being introduced to him in the History Boys 10 years ago, I've hoped to work with Russell. It's been an honor for the writers and myself to be able to create this role specifically for him. Side note, if you guys have never seen the History Boys, please go see the History Boys, because it's one of my favorite plays and one of my favorite movies. But I digress. Let's get back to Quantico here. Toby's going to be playing a character named Harry Doyle. The character is described as a mischievous gadabout, a part Thomas Crown, part grown-up artful dodger. The mysterious Harry can be anything to anybody, and is just as likely to seduce your husband as he is to pick his pocket when it's over. So this sounds like a really fun role, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how he interacts with the rest of our favorite players when Quantico returns.
My only worry about Quantico season 2 is that after the reveal of who was behind all the crazy, we're not going to believe any of our favorites are ever evil again. So every new person that comes on the show, I'm going to be like, it's got to be them. They're evil. So now I'm like worried that the suspense isn't going to quite be there like we had this year. So I'm excited he's going to be on because he's great, but yeah, I'm going to be suspicious of him until we know for sure that he's not, you know, out for major, major trouble. Moving on from Quantico to a little Supergirl news. We found out recently that Superman will be appearing in the flesh in season 2. In season 1, we got quite a few appearances by him, but not necessarily seeing an actor playing him. Him and Supergirl have a nice little online chat window, private chat thing going on where they keep in touch, their family, you know. But this season we will be seeing him. Executive producer Andrew Kreisberg said, Greg Berlanti, Ellie Adler, and I are beyond thrilled to welcome Clark Kent and his slightly more famous alter ego to the world of Supergirl. We cannot wait to see who next dons the red cape. So they are casting now, and yeah, so now it's like, who do we want to play Superman? Now we all get to, like, you know, throw out our possible names. There are some that always seem to come up when casting Superman, because the first thing I did, like, when this news came out was kind of dig into who people have wanted to see play him before that haven't had the opportunity yet. And then I started to try to think about age of, you know, who, what age this Superman would be. And man, I kind of just really want to see John Krasinski be Superman. I think he could embody, like, the stern, you know, not happy-go-lucky Superman, but also have a bit of that bumbling, silly, fun guy, since, like, Kara is so, like, dorky and kind of nerdy. It would be so much fun. I would just kill to see John Krasinski and Melissa Benoist on screen together.
See, I personally would love Tom Welling to come back. Because then they can say, like, guess what? Smallville is part of this whole DC universe on television.
Okay.
And then they can bring in all of that. I'm just sorry. I would love that.
I just assume that's off the table. If that's on the table, Tom Welling is, like, number one.
I just want to make sure that I wasn't the only one. Like, come on. Like, come on. Oh, Tom Welling is Superman to me because I grew up watching him become Superman. So, you know, I that's who I would love to see. Because you remember, in this film, he's much older than Kara. You know, he's much older. So Tom Welling would have been growing up while Kara was still, you know, in space or just having landed. So honestly, his actual age right now, he was, what, born in 75, 77, something like that. So he would be in mid-40s, you know, early 40s, mid-30s, and or late 30s, and he would be the right age for Superman.
I mean,
if he's that much older. I'm just saying.
Totally game for that. I just don't know if Tom Welling would want to step in for it. Like, I don't know if he's trying to put it behind him now and, you know, get into other stuff.
And do something else. Yeah. Do films versus, you know, television for, was it 9 years? 9 seasons?
10 years. 10 seasons.
10 seasons?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So Tom actually participated in an interview with BuzzFeed, and they asked him about this. And he was very wishy-washy about it. So that probably doesn't bode well for all of us that like to see him come back.
Oh.
But he just kind of said, like, oh, I don't know. Like, all I know is no one's asked me. And then he made this comment about how he's not really sure where Clark would be today. So he kind of just said, like, he doesn't even know if he, like, knows Clark, because it's been so long since he's played him. But I call shenanigans. I feel like as soon as he puts on the cape, he'll, like, know exactly who Clark is and where Clark has been. And, like, he would know. Exactly. He would know.
It's no... Like, come on. He was Superman for 10 years without this costume. Like, come on. It's...
Did he take misdirection cues from Kit Harington? I mean, really? Like, no. We don't buy it. You're totally gonna do it. Come on, Tom. Just come out and let us all know.
Oh my gosh, maybe you're right, Kristen. Maybe it's all a ruse and they're actually just, like, secretly finalizing the contract.
That would be amazing.
I feel like we would all cry. We would just revert back to our teenage selves and feel like Smallville.
It would be kind of amazing. It would have to be like a rewatchable type thing. I'd have to rewatch all of Smallville then.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely. I'll start now.
I know. You've been itching to do it. We've been talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's another piece of news that is tied into a very popular fandom. Neil Gaiman's American Gods is, of course, going to be adapted for an upcoming miniseries on Starz. And Gillian Anderson is, she's joined the cast, which is great because, of course, you know, she was in X-Files for the longest time. And she's currently on The Fall, which is a wonderful TV series. And she's going to be playing Media, the god of television. And this is kind of an interesting deviation from Gaiman's source material, because in the story, Media is she just kind of talks to the main character through different television personalities, including newscasters and, like, Lucy from I Love Lucy and stuff like that. So Media is not necessarily, like, the embodiment of one person. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they play around with this now that Anderson is officially signed on. But I'm just really excited to see her do something like this, because she's such a phenomenal actress and I feel like she really picks and chooses her projects. So this is going to be really fun.
This book is on my to-be-read list. Like, I need to know what people are talking about, because this all sounds so interesting and cool. Every time I get another character announcement and learn about them, I'm like, this book is going to be amazing. So I need to read it, and then I'll have all of the knowledge and, you know. But, yeah, it sounds cool. And as you said, yeah, Gillian Anderson is pretty careful about her projects, so I'm sure it's going to be awesome.
Sweet. Well, this ties in very nicely to our weekly TV show of the week segment, of course, where we tell you what we've been really into. I think, Kristen, you've got the most timely thing since this just returned. And we've been, like, excited about this for months on hype. So tell us about your TV show of the week.
Unreal is back, ladies and gentlemen, and it was pretty damn awesome. Unreal Season 2 premiered last night, Monday night, and it was so good, and my only, like, regret was that we didn't really get to meet and learn about the girls as much as I feel like we did at the beginning of last season, but it looks like next week we're gonna get a really good look at who all is there, and we're going to see them get introduced to the suitor, and yeah, this show is amazing, and it's crazy, and it's, I mean, it's just everything. So yeah, loving Unreal, loving Quinn and Rachel and everyone that's back, and yeah, it's going to be really good fun this season.
You know, I really did not think they were going to be able to top themselves, because last year was so insane. But they've managed to do it in the first episode of this season.
It was, yeah, it was really good. And I just, yeah, I think I expected it to be a little bit down. I didn't expect it to come back with such a punch, but it really, really did. And I think that, like, moving Quinn and Rachel around in their roles helps a lot. Like, knowing that they're not just in the same roles as last year. Like, they both have new responsibilities and new things going on. I think that is going to help this season feel fresh and not just like a rehash of last year.
Totally. And then, like, obviously they've got, like, the big twist this year is that they have a Black Bachelor, which is, like, they're obviously having a lot of fun playing that up in the script. And what's it, Chet's back too.
Yeah.
To wreak some havoc. So that's going to be interesting for sure.
Chet. God.
I know. Well, if you guys are interested, we're still working on this Unreal special, and we'll keep you updated on that. I know a lot of you were hoping that we'd get around to that this time, but maybe for the finale. I think we're gonna have a lot more to talk about as the series progresses. So
definitely,
it's gonna be a good season. Mikey, you have two shows down. Tell us about these.
Yeah, so this week I watched Silicon Valley, which I will tell you, I kind of fell in love with the show as soon as I started watching it. Recently, what is it? I think it was episode 7. Yeah, episode 7, Build a Better Beta, was released on Sunday. And it was probably this season's notable high. Like, if you've ever watched the series, it kind of goes up and down. Like, they're working towards something, they do it, and then all of a sudden, like, it just falls flat on their face for some reason at the end of the season. And so this episode was all about them actually building their beta. It goes well. Everybody is loving it. They can't get enough great feedback. And then somebody who's really near and dear to Richard says they don't like it. One of my favorite things they did do about this episode was Monica, who is the person who just did not like the beta for Richard, actually kind of called back to season 1 when they had the character Peter Gregory and said, "I don't invest in products, I invest in people. I invested in you." So even though she didn't understand it, didn't get, you know, his product that he was releasing, she said, "I invested in you. So if you think it's ready, it's ready." Which was really cool to see that the show ended on a very high note. And that just makes me really worried about the next episode, because I know something's going to go horribly wrong and they're going to, you know, everything's going to get messed up. I hope it doesn't, but I really want them to end on a high note. But I'm worried about the next episode already. But it was a great episode just because they finally have all the things they've been working towards for 3 seasons is kind of there now, which is just absolutely awesome. And then the other show I was watching is, I've been rewatching the Stargate series. I watched through 10 seasons of Stargate SG-1 recently, and I've been watching Stargate Atlantis. And I just watched season 4 premiere episode of Stargate Atlantis again. And man, I had forgotten so much of this stuff. It was a great show on sci-fi. You know, the series has been around for a long time, but if you haven't seen Stargate Atlantis or any of the Stargate series, it's definitely something you can get stuck into. I remember the first time I watched it, I was probably 5 seasons behind. I would stay up to like 4 or 5 in the morning watching Stargate SG-1 to get caught up, because it was just that good. Once again, plus the original Stargate had Richard Dean Anderson, everyone's favorite MacGyver. So that's kind of an older show, but Stargate Atlantis is pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, MacGyver's coming back. It's been picked up for a pilot, so kind of timely for you to bring that up.
But is it Richard Dean Anderson? That's the real question.
Of course, it's never going to be Richard Dean Anderson.
Because it's not Richard Dean Anderson. You know, if it's not Richard Dean Anderson, then is it really MacGyver? Or is he just some guy who's doing a MacGyver? You know, that's my question.
Oh, that's MacGyverception right there.
Yeah, it is.
Like, what do we really know?
Now, just to go a little bit further into it, you know, if you do end up watching any Stargate, watch the episode 1 of Stargate SG-1. Because Richard Dean Anderson actually looks directly in the camera and says, like, what am I, some kind of MacGyver? And just like he's staring right at the camera, just like he acknowledged it on episode one of the series, and you're just like, that's awesome. Okay,
that's amazing.
And we'll move on.
That is amazing. So. That's almost as good as in like Fuller House, where they just like kept acknowledging that none of the Olsons came back. And they were like, yeah, Michelle.
Yeah.
Deep into the camera.
Still in New York working on their fashion line. And they just look directly at the camera. Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Well, speaking of 90s nostalgia, I don't know if you guys have like checked this out or not, but of course the Disney Channel picked up Girl Meets World a couple seasons ago, and I sat down with some of my younger brothers and sisters and watched this. You guys, this show is like so good, and it's so cute, and it's so well done, and it gives me all the feels. Like, I didn't think I was gonna get so attached, but I just think that the way that they blend in like the stories of like this new generation of kids, and also, like, managed to bring back little touchstones of things that, like, people that grew up with Boy Meets World would recognize and enjoy. Like, it's just, like, so beautifully done. And I'm so pleased with the way they've been handling this. And season three just started back up on the Disney Channel. And they've moved the kids into high school. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they tackle some of these more grown-up issues. Because it is still a show that's on the Disney Channel. I know a lot of people have been hoping that maybe they move over to ABC Family, which is an affiliate. Because it would give the chance for the show to grow and just kind of like, as far as like the plot, like bringing in things that they might not be able to put in on the Disney Channel, because, you know, Boy Meets World was all about like growing and experiences and like educating and stuff like that. And so, yeah, but I'm really, really enjoying it. So if you guys maybe just tuned into the first episode of season one and didn't really like it because you thought it was really hokey, I would highly recommend going back and maybe checking out some of season two's episodes, because it's really fun and they're actually all on Netflix. So a fun little show to marathon if you need something light to watch in between, you know, all the other stuff.
That is one show I think I always meant to watch, like to at least check it out, and I never knew when it was on and I never did, so I'll probably be diving into some Girl Meets World this week.
So I'll be honest, you know, I'm an adult now. I'm 30 years old, and when I started to watch Girl Meets World, I kind of felt awkward. So I don't have any kids, so I think I have to wait until like, I have my nephew with me or something like that. Be like, oh, we should watch this, and I'm watching it for me, but I'm trying to get him to watch it. But because I will be honest, like sitting there on my couch by myself watching Girl Meets World as an adult male by myself, it just seemed weird. Now, if I can convince my wife to watch it, then maybe I'll be okay. But it was just kind of weird. I'll be honest, like I really want to watch it because I love Boy Meets World growing up, and I saw Corey in the first episode and Topanga, and I just keep hearing Eric in my head going, Phoebe, you know, wanting to be on it. But like, I can't do it by myself. Maybe I'll need to hang out with you guys and you can let me watch it with you.
There you go. Yeah. No, definitely. That's understandable. What was I going to say? Oh, okay. So like, Kristen, since you're going to watch, I will tell you the same thing that I told my brother, who was, he's not 30, but he's 26. And he felt a little awkward about watching it too. I sat him down and I said, please just watch the episode Girl Meets Pluto. And I think that's like the episode that you could get away with too, Mikey, because it mostly centers around the older cast and the younger cast kind of like comes in. But it's really fun and it's really going to kind of get you in the mood to kind of check out the rest of what the series has to offer. Because like I said, it does take a while for it to find its footing, which is why I think a lot of people dropped off really, really quickly towards the beginning. But once you get past like the first couple of episodes, it really starts getting good. So highly recommend that if you're looking for something fun on Netflix.
Sounds good.
Yes. So that is it for TV Show of the Week, but we are going to run through some of the listener feedback we got. As always, you guys were awesome and sent in lots of fun little comments for us to read on the show. Before we do that, we do want to remind you about all of our contact info one more time, as we like to do on this show. For starters, if you want to reach out via Twitter, you can reach us at HypeableHype. You can also find us on Instagram at HypeableHype. We like to keep things nice and uniform for you guys. If you have other lengthy comments for us, you can always leave them in the show notes on Hypeable.com. Alternatively, you can drop us a line via email using the email address hype@hypeable.com. And one more time, we are on Tumblr, so if you want to come and hang out and ogle at pictures of Sebastian Stan with us, you can do that too. So we are hypepodcast.tumblr.com over there, having lots of fun. And we will follow you back if you follow us, so that's a nice little incentive to come and hang out on Tumblr. We've got some tweets for you guys, and Kristen's going to kick these off for us.
Sure. Our first one comes from H21 Triple, who says, just finished listening to Hype 100 episode. Congratulations on this milestone and hoping for many more your way. Hype hosts rock. Thanks. so much. It was fun. It was a really fun episode. Megan Carlisle at MeganC7585 says, Kristen, I love that you love Survivor. I've watched since season one. Yeah, I watched it season one. I missed a couple of seasons in college when I just dropped off of TV because I had too much studying to do, but I have rewatched them all since, so I have seen every season of Survivor, and I love it so much. Ugh, it's just so good. Our next one comes from Julie Gamash at Julie Gamash, and she says, finally rewatching Gilmore Girls season one so I can listen to the hype special. I've been rewatching Gilmore Girls recently too, and I still have not had a chance to sit down and listen to the specials, so that's coming up. Like, I need to get into that again. So, yeah. And last, Megan Carlisle also tweeted in to say to Danielle. She says, love that you are going to Wizard World Comic Con, Danielle. I went to the one in St. Louis last year and met Haley Atwell. She also sent us in a picture of her and Haley and of her super awesome Harry Potter tattoo. So thanks for getting in touch.
Mm-hmm. I specifically love this tattoo that Megan sent in because it's basically my tattoo, but on a different part of her foot. So that was really fun.
Aww.
I had no idea they were so popular, but I like it. It's like we're all in a little club, everybody that has book stars somewhere on their bodies.
Wait, it's book fun. Stars?
Yeah.
From the Harry Potter books? I have one too.
Oh, really?
Aww.
That's cool.
Yeah, I have a big phoenix on my leg, and right next to his head is the three book stars.
Oh, so, cute.
Yeah. I have book stars on my Harry Potter tattoo also.
I think it's like they're just like such a fun little tribute. Also, I can't do pain very, very well, so I was like, I'm just going to get something small. And mine are on the inner corner of my ankle, but it's always really fun when people notice them because then they're like, that's the thing. And you're like, yes, that is the thing, my friend. We also have a couple more tweets here. These are all in reference to our Alex Blaho special, which, of course, we talked about at the beginning of the show. This one comes from the BWBW, who says, quote of the show, I can't hype my own hype or it will become a hype paradox. This is, of course, something that Blaho said when Selena said he should mention Versailles is what he'd been doing in pop culture. Well, Alex, I hyped our own hype, so I guess it still ended up being a hype paradox. Missing Merlin tweeted it and said, how about Owen Mackin, Colin Morgan, Tom Hopper Hops, and Katie McGrath next? This is, of course, in reference to the fact that we've had both Bradley James and Alex on our show now. And believe me, Missing Merlin, we are working tirelessly to get the rest of the cast on. We're gonna catch them all, you know, one by one. Slowly but surely.
Like Pokemon.
Exactly. Now it's become a game. It's like, who can we get next? Finally, Dizzy Miss Ruby said, there's a 10-year Merlin. We got so much Merlin stuff this week, you guys, because of this special. It's so great that the fandom is still alive. Dizzy Miss Ruby said, there's a 10-year Merlin reunion meetup mentioned in Pierre Fonds, which is, of course, where they film the series, in France, September 20th, 2018. Would you guys be interested? Well, Selena's not here to talk about this with me, but short answer, yes. Keep us posted and, you know, maybe we'll show up and 2 years. That would be fun.
You've got time to save. That's, you know.
I know. See, this one is 2 years is doable. Cursed Child was not doable.
Yeah.
Cursed Child came too quickly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that would be really fun. I love it that, like, even those shows end, like, and this is not just Merlin, but, like, you know, across the board, that, like, fans still manage to keep the love alive. I think that is so great. And that's obviously one of the reasons that we do what we do, because we can talk about all the things that we love with you guys, and it's great. And with that said, that actually wraps up the show for you guys this week. We really, really hope that you enjoyed what we talked about. And of course, you can find all of these stories and many, many more stories on hypeable.com. Yeah, I think that's going to be it for us, but thanks so much for listening. And Mikey, thanks so much for joining us. We had a blast chatting with you.
Yes, thank you.
Yep, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, and of course, if you guys are interested in, like, you know, Star Wars stuff, you should really check out Resistance Radio, because Mikey and Donya and friends, they do such a great job of breaking down all of the Star Wars stuff, and it's a really, really fun show. We're so glad you guys are doing that now on the regular.
Yeah, you guys should also check out that live Facebook video feed that we're going to do on Sunday, was it 19th? I don't know how well it's going to go, but we're going to try. We have a camera set up and everything to do a live podcast.
Coming to you live from Indie PopCon. That's going to be fun. Very cool. Well, until next time, you guys, thanks again for listening. My name is Pamela.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Mikey B.
All right, guys, we'll see you next week for episode 103. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Goodbye. Goodbye now.